worship Him. Well, we have come into His house, gather in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house, gather in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. Just forget about yourself. So just forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. Forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is all my righteousness. Well, He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him to worship Him. Amen. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Christ the Lord. We'll worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. And because He lives, oh, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all my fear, it is gone. Because I know He holds the future. My life, it is worth the living just because He lives. Aren't you thankful He lives? And because He lives, I can face tomorrow because He lives. All my fear, it is gone. Oh, because I know, yes, I know He holds the future. And life, it is worth the because He lives. Let's sing it one more time. And because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all my fears is gone. Because my Lord. There is no other one. Oh, who can calm the storms of life like my Lord? Amen. Your prayer, amen. Help me learn to lean on you, Lord, when things seem tough, things seem to be going wrong. Help me to learn to lean on you, Lord. Amen. I want to welcome you to the service this afternoon, each and every one of you. We're going to open the service in a word of prayer. I'm going to ask our Brother Ben Pritchard if you'd just come and open the service in a word of prayer. Sister Becky, if you could just play Bring All Your Needs to the Altar. We've got quite a few prayer requests. A lot of them were mentioned by Brother Wayne this morning, but we'll just go over some of them again. We just want to continue to remember our sister Shirley Lingle and pray. prayer. Lord, we give her strength as she continues to care for her husband. We also want to remember Sister Sarah Buchanan in prayer. We want to continue to remember our Sister Hannah Gunter in prayer. It's good to see Brother Allen here tonight. We want to continue to remember him in prayer with his back. We want to remember the LaFontaines that are in Africa singing over there, so we want to remember them in prayer. We want to remember our sister Cindy Walters in prayer. We want to remember Sister Melody Cross and the kids that are up in Michigan, so we want to remember them in prayer. Sister Connie put in a prayer request to remember Brother Troy. He's at home working on their well, so we want to remember him in prayer and that everything goes well with that. We also want to remember Sister Mary Smith, who's not here tonight. She's got a sinus headache, so we want to remember her in prayer. Amen. If you have any unspoken prayer requests, just make it known. That's where the band comes.
If you're here tonight and you have a burden that's weighing you down, and sometimes you think, God, if you'd just take this burden from me, I could run. But you know, the preacher from New Zealand, he said, God's bringing a character out in you through your trials and your burdens, and that really helped me. So if you're knee-deep in your burden and he's got you down, tonight's the night that you can give it to God. He can reach down and just take that burden right off your back. And you can get up and run and put that armor of God on. And you'll be able to face any devil, any darkness, and slay every power of darkness that comes against you. So if you're here tonight, I pray that you can... definitely give it to God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you this evening. Lord, we thank you for your mighty hand. Oh God, you bless us in so many ways. Lord, we thank you for this assembly. We thank you for your presence among us tonight. Lord, we pray that you would, Lord, each and every one that's sick, Lord, they're facing physical. Need deliverance from those, Lord, that need healing. We pray that you just be with them, Lord. God, be with each and every one. The other requests, I can't remember them all, but God, you know each and every one. You know each and every unspoken request on someone's heart. We pray that you'd be with the minister tonight, Lord. We look forward to your word. We look forward to what you have in store for us. We give the rest of this service to you in your lovely name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Those words of encouragement there, Brother Ben. That was good. Turn and shake hands with those that are around you and welcome them to the service. And then you may have your seats. Amen. We're going to sing I'll Fly Away, Some Glad Morning. This life is o'er. I'm looking forward to flying away. Amen. I enjoyed that service this morning, and sometimes I think we get caught up in our, or at least I do, in our everyday humdrum life, and we forget that we are living in the right at the end time. Amen. And I'm so thankful for that, of being able to get out of here someday. Amen. Well, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Brother Matt, come and sing, and while he's making his way over there, just a couple quick announcements. Remind everybody, men's meetings coming up September 29th. You can go online to sign up, do it quickly, or you may not get the bedroom you want. And those of us who have been there know what that means, so make sure you sign up. Also, a reminder, Saturday, September 9th at 5 p.m., there's a youth event at the Buchanan home. So mark that date. More info to come. Brother Matt.
took me all this time to find reality. When all I ever really want is you.
If you know it, sing it with me.
And all that really counts, all that's really true,
stand. We're going to ask our ushers to come. Thank you, Brother Matt. Really enjoyed that. Brother Jeff, if you could ask the blessing on the offering. Sing, we need you, Lord. Amen. I truly believe that. Amen. No matter what happens, we need him. Amen. As Brother Barry gets ready to come. Need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Right now. We need you, Lord. Yeah. bow our knees, oh, and worship at your throne. Oh, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord, right now. Amen. Let's sing that again.
Brother Steve to come, so we'll have you just remain standing for another moment here, and we appreciate you being here this evening. I just wanted to add one more little thing, announcement about the men's meeting, and I mentioned this morning that we have that list of ministers that I put on the board there, Brother Reagan, Brother McGarry, Brother Jason Watkins, Brother Paul LaFontaine, Brother Mike Altig, Brother Sam Browning, and then this after service this morning, I got confirmation that Brother Tim Dodd is going to be coming down as well. So that's a great emphasis on teaching, and for those of you that know those brothers, that's about as good as it gets. And we appreciate the brothers willing to come and be there for the men's meeting. We're going to have service for the folks that are not at the men's meeting, obviously, here. But if you don't mind, since it's our church that does this, we want to remember that event in prayer and just pray that the Lord will meet with us and speak to our hearts, and we'd encourage you to, for those brothers, to sign up. Next Sunday night, we're going to have a meeting with our brothers who are going to be a part of the work crew there for the men's meeting. We're going to sing this little chorus, "This Is My Desire to Honor You," and we're going to invite Brother Stephen to come this evening and just pray and just speak what's on his heart, and you just pull on the gift. And I know that the Holy Spirit always, no matter who the personality is, that's really not that important. What's important is what he says. Amen. That's what's important. After church tonight, after service, we're going to have prayer for all of our kids who are going back to school because we're in that season again, like it or not, and going back into school again. So we just like to ask God's blessing over them. Let's sing this evening here. "This Is My Desire to Honor You." This is my desire. Thank you. Father, we invite your presence to be with us in a real way tonight. Anoint both speaker and hearer. Chase away all tiredness and weariness at the end of our week. And Lord, at the setting of the sun, at the end of this day, we just want to just give you first place tonight. Anoint what's said, we pray. In Jesus' lovely name, amen and amen. Let's sing it one more time as Brother Stephen comes. This is my desire.
Once again, if you would, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, how we love you, how we thank you, how we love your presence. And oh Lord, I guess the longer we live, the more we realize how much we do need you. Lord, how much we really deep down inside want to give ourselves to you. Lord, I pray that in a moment like this, when we can just take a few moments to focus on the Word of God in this setting, I pray that you teach us how to give more of ourselves to you. Because the more of ourselves that we give to you, the more that you can use us and do things through us, the more that we can speed all of this up, and we can go home. So I pray that you do that tonight, Lord, and I pray for the people here before me. Lord, hungry hearts, people that really do need you. Lord, you know that, and I know that, and they know that. So in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we submit ourselves. We ask that you remove anything that would hinder the moving of your Spirit tonight. We give ourselves into that channel, Lord. We ask that you'd come and speak to the individual needs of everyone here. May we not leave this building the same. We believe that that is possible. We really do. It's not just Christian rhetoric. We believe that we don't have to leave the building the same, but that you can change us. You can encourage. You can instruct. You can lift us up. We believe that. We place our faith in that. We give you this service in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, musicians. I'd like to ask you to turn with me to the book of Romans, if you would. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and let's start at verse 6. For to be carnally minded, Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, if you've got your Bible and you're staring at that verse, you're looking down at the remedy or the instruction on how to have a life full of genuine life and peace. Nobody in this room wants to die or have a death in this sense of the word. I don't think there is anybody. You want life and peace. And you're staring at it right here in the Word of God. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But if the Spirit of life, because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, we are not debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Amen. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You can have your seats. The spiritual, of or relating to spiritual things. It relates to that which is connected to the spirit. Spiritual. The inner perspective as it determines regulating outward behavior. The spiritual nature is that which relates to the spirit. Romans 8, 6, it says, the mind governed by the flesh or the carnal flesh, it says to be carnally minded is death. The mind that is governed by the Spirit is life and peace. Now, Brother Branham says in 1957 in the Great Commission, he says, and the lineage of Cain's children became scientists. That's history. That's not just the Bible, that's history. They became scientists. The lineage of Seth's children was spiritual. Those two different classes of people exist today, scientists and spiritual. Scientists and spiritually minded people. They should be working together, but it's contrary. The existence of those two classes will be here until the change of our bodies. Until we have the full, until the day of our redemption is completely whole in Christ, when he comes and judgment strikes the earth, we will have these two classes of people here until that happens. Those that are ran by the carnal mind and those that are operated by the spiritual mind. Because that these two spirits war against another, then you experience the pressure and the strain as a result of it. Yeah, right. So we see here in Romans chapter 8 the clear differentiation between those that are carnally minded and those that are spiritually minded, those that are, relate to the Spirit or those that relate to death and flesh. You're either one or the other. I don't intend on being very long tonight, but I just want to speak to you from my heart. I had 4 pages of don't need to tell you this, but I had 4 pages of notes and it turned into 23 within 2 hours. Meaning that I am confused. And my straightforward topic turned into the whole message. So that means, and I believe that the Holy Spirit wants me to be here. I believe he wants me to speak to you. And I completely wholeheartedly agree with what Brother Barry said. It's not the personality that speaks to you, but God uses different personalities to speak in different ways. So in whatever personality I have, whether you like it or not, I'll give myself to him so that he can speak to you. That being the case, that I am all over the place, I believe that the Lord will settle it in a, Lord willing, in a short amount of time, just how you need to receive it. Okay? So in order to do that, I need you to pull and be right with me, and we'll be out of here in just a few minutes. I'm going to preach for about 30 minutes, and then I'm going to take 30 to close. So just stay with me. There's three kinds of believers in every church. There's a make believer. There's an unbeliever. And then there's the believer. There's two classes of people. Those that are operated by the carnal mind, who are carnally minded. And those that are spiritually minded. There's only two classes of people, but there's three kinds of believers in every church. Every church. That being the case, that tension that arises between those that are carnally minded and those that are spiritually minded presses against you, it presses against me, it presses against all of us. Because that tension will constantly be nagging at you and eating at you until we're gone.
Right.
Brother Branham says it started way back in the beginning. Seth's family was spiritual, and Cain went off and were scientists. They operated on the basis of their carnal mind and their carnal flesh, on the basis of their own ability and their own thinking, which was necessary for them. And Seth, only when Enos came, Enoch, did people begin to call on the name of the Lord, which was under Seth's heritage. There's two classes of people. Brother Branham says in What Dost Thou Hear, in 1959, he says, I preach to more tired people than anybody in the world. If you've talked to anybody, your friends, if you have friends and you've talked to them, they'll say, I'm tired. How you doing? Oh, I'm tired, man. How you doing? Oh, I'm good. I'm staying busy. Tired. Busy. Tired. People so tired. And he said this in 1959. I believe it's only more so nowadays. Everybody's so tired. They are so mentally strained until they're filling the insane institutions. He said there's hospitals everywhere. He said they've went in such a nervous condition till they don't even know what they do believe and what they want. People don't even know what they want because there's so many options that you can have. There's 33,000 different denominations, 360,000 different churches. In Hinduism, you have 330 million gods. People are so mentally strained until they don't know what to believe, more specifically what they want to believe. He said people are so tired. That was in 1959. There are two classes of people, and both of them are tired. Because the result of that tension that goes against each other. If you're wrong, you want to be right. If you're right, you don't want to be wrong. If you know where you stand, then you have to fight for that piece of ground. If you're not on that piece of ground, you've got to fight to get to it. And that life that is not on the ground where you know where you're supposed to stand is a lifelong struggle of trying to achieve some kind of pleasure that is just out of your reach. This is why Paul explains in Romans, in the second chapter of Romans, I'm sorry, in the 12th chapter of Romans, 12:2, when he says, and be not conformed to this world. You are to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. To set the mind on God is to be spiritually minded. He says you're not to be conformed to the carnal mind, which is in this world. You're to be transformed into this mind. He says now, and what I want you to get to be thinking about is if you are trying to achieve a certain level of perfection, if all you are trying to do is achieve some kind of pious life, then you are wrong. If you are trying to achieve theological perfection or a moral perfection in this life, then you are wrong. If you are simply living your life trying to skirt around it the best you can, skirt around the message, skirt around a moral life, skirt around what perfection really is, then you are still wrong. There are some who are trying to achieve a level of perfection, and it strains them to the point that they don't know what they want anymore. That's the strain that's on the age. It's a mental age. Did you know that 1 in 5 people will have a mental imbalance, suffer with a mental illness of some sort? So these 5 guys right here, from Gabe on over, I won't mention which one it would be, one of them, out of the 5 of them, will have a mental imbalance. Not you guys. Because you guys are really good, right? And you're strong and you're stable. But the culture, the stats show that 1 in 5 people will have a mental imbalance. They'll be mentally out of place, mentally out of sorts. Now, there's only 2 kinds of people. There's the spiritually minded, and then there's those who operate on the carnality and the whims of their own mind and spirit. I would like to have life and peace. I would like to have life and peace. To want to achieve a perfection in this life is a futile effort. It is an exercise in futility, because you'll never achieve perfection in this life. The flesh is unborn. It is unborn again. It cannot be born again. And you will war with it until we get out of this pest house. That's basic doctrine of the message. And there's these 2 different kinds of people. I want this one over here. I want the life and peace. That's what I want to have. I want to have a genuine life that I can live. I want to have a real, genuine life, not something that is make-believe. I want to have something that is real. I want to have peace. And this peace that he's speaking about is a peace that surpasses your ability to understand. In Ephesians 4, chapter 6, he says, I believe verse 6, I believe it is, he says, by prayer and petition, I say that verse a lot, by prayer and petition, let your requests be made known unto him, that the peace of God which surpasses understanding shall grab hold of you. There's a peace that you can have that is outside of your ability to grasp. There is a life that you want to have that is just outside of your ability to grasp. That's the one that you want. There's not a person in this room who doesn't want it. To have it, you must be spiritually minded. I want life, and I want peace, and I know that that's what you want. And to have that, you must be spiritually minded. And I believe that this can be a reality for you. I believe that it can be a reality for you because it's a reality for me. I am a young man, but this verse right here is a reality to me. There's nobody in this room who I feel is more unworthy to receive life and peace than I am. I really do. I mean, I look at some of you, and even Dad was telling a bit of his testimony about the smoking, you know, and what he was before. And I'm sure you know the testimony of Brother Barry. I know that he would think, I'm so unworthy to have that from God. I am so unworthy to experience the realities of a living God in my life and to know what that is and to experience it. He would probably think that, I don't know. But for me, I think that I am the least worthy to be given life and peace. To know what it means to have a living God. To know what it feels like to be healed. Miraculously healed from something. And that is a reality to me. And it's upon this reality that I preach. and that I'm standing here, and that I can proclaim that this is the truth. Because I know that it is the truth, and it says, seeing that we have so great a cloud of witnesses, I'm one of those witnesses. That God is real, and that this is the truth, and that you can have it too. I believe that. I know that. Satan's goal then, because there's only two classes of people now. There's those who operate in the carnality of their flesh and in the carnality of their mind, who are carnally minded. And then there are those who are spiritually minded. There's only two. I know that I repeat things a lot, but there's only two. So you have to know which one you are. You have to know which one you are, because to have life and peace, to experience the realities of God, you must be spiritually minded. Satan's goal is to cause an imbalance. Now, we understand that the greatest battle that is ever fought or ever will be fought is in your mind. That's where it all happens. That's where the avenues, the five avenues of your spirit realm are. That's how Satan can get into you, into your spirit, is through the mind. He gets in through reason and conscience and imagination, and he'll get in through that avenue and get into your spirit and cause something where the carnal flesh is in operation. That is where that happens is in the mind. God chose the man's heart to anchor his word. He chose a man's heart to place himself, because that is what is changed. Ezekiel 36, I believe it's 36, he says, I will give a new heart to you. So when he gives you a new heart and he anchors it, it becomes the anchor that Brother Barry was talking about this morning in Jacob's Ladder, where it says he anchors it into the throne and he anchors it into his word. And when your heart is made new, then the ladder is not going to slip. So that is why God chose your heart to anchor himself into, and that is why the necessity for a new heart comes into play. And it seems so many times that Satan's goal is to throw you off your balance, to get you out of balance. He's got the whole world off balance. And I say that because of this. In the very beginning, Adam and Eve were there. They were dwelling in perfect harmony and unity. They were in perfect balance with God and themselves. God, you know, would roam about the earth, and he had dominion over the earth. It was his dominion, this earth. It's not some imaginary thing. It was this place. This was God's dominion, this very earth. And he had the freedom and the free course to move about it. He could sit on top of the Himalayas and look out over the plains. He could do whatever. He could walk over the American plains. He could do whatever he wanted to do, because it was his dominion. What Satan did is he came and he preached God's own word in an unbalanced way. It was imbalanced. And because of that, Eve became imbalanced in her mind. She was just like us. She had a mind, and she had avenues into that mind. And what did Satan use? Reason. He used reason to get in her and caused an imbalance. And because of that imbalance, every siren that you've ever heard out there is the result. Where we are now, and of course we know that this was in God's plan of redemption. This is because we hear those sirens, and because we have illnesses, we can see God's redemptive capabilities. So through that, he is expressing himself. But because of the imbalance, we experience it. Sin came as a result of an imbalance. And what is sin? Unbelief. It's unbelief in God's word. Lust, cheating and stealing and all of those things are attributes of that disbelief. The carnal mind does not believe. It can have the knowledge of it, but it cannot believe. The spiritual mind believes. The spiritual mind cannot sin. And Lord willing, I'll get into that in just a second. Brother Branham says this. In 1952, in early spiritual experiences, he says, but right in the middle of the road, there's a true, sound, unadulterated gospel and power of God in the middle of the road. It's not on this side of the road, and it's not on this side of the road. It's in the middle of the road. That's where the gospel dwells. In 1954, God has a provided way. Friends, and this is a very key quote in my sermon, so I want you to listen to this. Friends, I have always tried to keep a balance of the road. This is Brother Branham. This is the prophet. He says, I have tried to keep a balance of the road. You get way off on formalism. You just, as formal and ritualistic as they can be, people grab for that a lot. Then if you don't watch, you'll get plumb over on the other side and just be as fanatic as you can be. But there is a middle of the road where the true, sound, sane gospel is preached. God moves in there, vindicating the truth. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. Few there be that find it. What I love about this quote is that Brother Branham is talking about balance. Balance is a very important thing. You must have balance in your diet, in your exercise, in your work life, in your marriage, in your mind. You operate, a human being is meant to operate on balance. If you don't think that's true, then try struggling with vertigo. And you'll see how important balance is. Brother Mike will tell you that. Balance is an integral part of you getting to point A to point B. Balance is the most important part for the Christian because God dwells in perfect balance. When Satan came, he threw Eve and the garden and everything around him out of balance. He preached it in a skewed way that it threw it off on this side of the road. And then she went off on this side of the road, and then Satan planted his seed. Because of reason. Because an avenue of the mind. Through the mind, Satan threw everything off balance. And he will do the exact same thing to you. If you're not careful, you'll live with imbalance. What I love about this quote and everything that a person needs to know about balance is in this. If you look at it carefully enough. He says, now friends, I've tried to keep the balance of the road. First and foremost, the prophet dwelt in balance. He said, I tried to keep the balance of the road because that is where the sane gospel is preached. God reveals and vindicates his truth in balance. That's first and foremost. He says people grab for formalism and ritualistic ideology. And then if you don't watch, you'll get off on fanaticism. Now, what he is saying is that we do not try to find balance with the world and the word. That is serpent seed. That is the imbalance that happened at the very beginning that threw everything else out of balance. When you are operating with a balance of worldly behavior and the message and godly character, you are operating in a carnal mind. You are a crow. Call it as it is. Balance is not at all. Living in balance is not mixing the world with the word. That's serpent seed. That leads to death. Balance in the Word is where God dwells. He says, and the reason I say that is because of this. He says, you get off on formalism and you get off on fanaticism. Those are two elements that are not necessarily wrong within a gospel context. Those who are ritualistic and they're too formal, they're not necessarily wrong. They're just too formal. Those who are fanatics are not necessarily wrong. They're just enthused. You understand? There is a balance within the Word that God brings, and that's where He vindicates His truth to you. That is where you and I have to get to. Is not balanced with, okay, well, maybe I'll watch this TV show, but I won't watch these because these are bad. So I'm going to watch this, but it's got, I'll just be harsh on, you know, because if I'm preaching to anything or anyone, I'm preaching to myself and my own behavior. You try to mix something that is not necessarily bad, but it's not expedient. So it's okay, but it's not expedient. It's not necessarily really bad. It's just not expedient. And so you'll reason that out and begin to do that, even though there's scripture clearly against it. Now, an example that you will have to decide on, okay? I decided this a long time ago. When I saw it, you decided. Witchcraft. The Bible says that witchcraft is an abomination to the Lord. Amen. Now, I was a big fan of C.S. Lewis, the Chronicles of Narnia. I thought they were great. I liked C.S. Lewis's, just the way he wrote and the way he told his stories was fascinating. He's a fascinating guy. And it was an amazing piece of literature. But it had witchcraft. And all of a sudden it dawned on me, do I really need the story of Jesus Christ told to me with witchcraft in it? No, I didn't. Witchcraft is an abomination to the Lord. So it's not necessarily, you know, in my mind, it was, you know, well, it's talking about Jesus. That's serpent seed, straight up and down. It's mixing what is an abomination in the eyes of God with Christian rhetoric. Seriously? That is point blank Cain in your face. And I'm telling you, it came to a realization to me. Now, are there other things in my life that I need to get right? Well, of course. Of course. But when it came to this, I put my foot down and I drew the line. I said, Lord, that's witchcraft. I don't feel right. The Lord took it completely out of me. I had no desire for any of it. Lord of the Rings, anything like that. It's wrong to me. So you take the word and examine yourself against it. I'm not telling you what to do. I don't want you to think I'm out of balance. But that was a realization that came to me. Because no offense, but I think the Chronicles of Narnia is a carnally minded thing.
Amen.
And who am I to stand up with the intelligence and the theological understanding of a man like C.S. Lewis? But quite frankly, I don't care. Because it's not in the Word of God. And the Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. You guys, you young guys, you live in a culture where the average guy spends about 4 to 5 hours. And I'm sorry if these are young guys. 4 to 5 hours looking at pornography a day. Now that's on an average. That's a lot of time wasted on things that are wicked. So a young man who is professing to believe, let me rephrase that, a young man who wants life and peace, a young girl who wants life and peace, which is your desire. Remember when Brother Dwayne preached the sermon, Jacob's Desire. Satan can never take that desire from you. That was a wonderful sermon. He can never take that desire from you. But Satan, through the avenue of reason or imagination, gets into a young man's mind and he causes him to be caught up with a spirit. And a born-again, Holy Ghost-filled believer can be oppressed by a demon. They cannot be possessed. So you can be oppressed by that. But to do that is operating in a carnal mind. To set a wicked thing before your eyes. That leads to death. It leads to death. And if nobody ever says this to you, when it comes to pornography, whoever I'm speaking to, you have to draw the line. You have to put your foot down. It wrecks your imagination. It destroys your life. You have to draw a line. It is a wicked thing. And you set it before your eyes. That is not operating on the basis of the Word. That is operating against the Word. Don't think for a minute that that is going to lead to life or peace. Now remember, go back to what I said, because we operate in balance and the gospel is preached in balance. If you are trying to attain a perfect life, morally perfect, pious, if you are trying to do that yourself, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to stop doing this, I shouldn't be doing this, so I'm going to stop it, then you're way off. Because you can't stop it. Because you didn't ask for it. And you didn't ask to do it in the first place. You understand? There's got to be something else in the mix here, because there's only two ways you can go. And the Holy Spirit operates in perfect balance. I don't think there's any greater explanation of this than tightrope walkers. Nick Walenda, I think, is the tightrope walker. That guy is mentally imbalanced for being so balanced. I've never met him. I'm sure he's a great guy. But I just can't do that, you know. I wouldn't be able to do that. Paul, if you would turn to Ephesians 5:15. Because of the imbalance that exists in the world, that constantly wars against you, that presses against you, and therefore, as a result of our text, tries to get you to operate in the carnal mind. Because of that, there is a strain that is there. Because of that, Paul says this in Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Well, he who walks in the light shall have access to the blood of Jesus Christ. He who wakes up out of sleep. And if I could just pause for a second. Satan will try to get you to sleep. He'll try to get you, not tonight, because Sister Sarah, you can snuggle back there with the blanket, because she just flew from Europe. Nobody else here flew from Europe. He'll try to get you into a state where you are unaware of what you are doing. Going back to the example, if a young man is dealing with pornography, he doesn't want anybody to know, he doesn't want anybody to have anything to do with it, he wants to hide. He says, awake up out of your sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Well, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. And when you walk in the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You want to be free? You first got to wake up out of sleep. Because you wake up to the light, to the truth, and the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. That word circumspectly means walk with akrobos in the Greek. It's where we get our word acrobat. So Paul says, see then, wake up out of your sleep, and Christ shall lead you to the light. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but that goes for everyone. Wake up out of your sleep, wake up out of your slumber, and walk circumspectly. Walk with akrobos. What that means is you put one foot in front of the other very carefully, and you walk with akrobos. You walk circumspectly. He says, see then that you do that. It means that you walk with balance. You're not over here on formalism and ritualism, because what that will do is lead to legalism. You can't dwell over here on fanaticism, because what that'll do is it'll make you feel like you're good because you got a hype and you're all hyped up and you're excited and you're over-enthused, is what his fanaticism is explained as. You're over-enthused, and then you'll have this huge crash. And you go right back out to everything. I don't think there's anything wrong with a little fanaticism. I think a lot of us could use a little bit more ritualistic behavior, where we set ourselves into a routine and we get into it. I think we could all use a little life sometimes and get a little fanaticism into our veins, running through it. But the Holy Spirit dwells in perfect balance. You don't stay over here. You don't stay over here. He brings you back into balance. If God dwells in balance, then that is where the spiritually minded are, because where God is where the spiritually minded are. So if the carnal mind leads to death and the spiritual mind leads to life and peace, then the spiritual mind walks in balance. It walks in balance with the Word. It's not over here doing this or doing this over here, and it's not out of balance in that it mixes worldly behavior with Christianity, which happens in the message, where it's okay to look at these things and do these things and read these things as long as I'm going to church and I'm going through the motions. You hear that many, 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 many times, almost every week. You can't just go through the motions. You can't just go through the motions. And yet there's so many that go home and go right back to their habits and their wrongdoings without ever waking up. And they are operating in the carnal mind. If you want life and peace, you've got to operate in the spiritual mind. Well, how do you do that? I guess more importantly is, why should I do that? I know a lot of young people, the question anymore is becoming not what I should do, but why. There's apathy among many young people. They want to know what's right, and of course, but at some point they ask themselves, well, why? I have a perfect life over here. I'm okay over here. Why would I want that? In Daniel chapter 5 and verse 27, you know the story when Belshazzar was partying. He's partying really loud and hard. And God's finger comes down on the wall and writes the writing on the wall. So he comes down and he writes it on the wall. There was nobody who could decipher what that was. Nobody could understand what was on the wall. What it says was, and if I could just go to it, it says, "And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin." I have no idea how to pronounce that. "This is the interpretation of the king. Mean, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting." At some point, we're going to go home. And when we do, you don't want to be found in the balances wanting. I don't want to be in that place. I really don't want to be in that place where you'll be found wanting, because God has a balance and He places every single one on that balance. And if you are found wanting, then God will turn away from you. That is a carnal mind that is out of balance with God's Word. Now, again, I bring you back into balance and say that if you're trying to seek a perfection by activity or anything like that in this life, then you're off balance. It's not that you attain the perfection. We're getting to it. It's not that you do that and you set it in order. But if you're found wanting, out of balance, then God will turn away from you. Brother Branham, he says, in 1963, three kinds of believers. He says, "And there was handwriting on the wall of unknown tongues, and at the beginning of the Gentile kingdom, that no one could read but that prophet. And there is handwriting on the wall today." He says, that's right. Ichabod. He says, that glory of God has departed from them things, and the handwriting is on the wall and can be read by the spiritual mind that believes in spiritual things and has been born of God. He says, just as it was then, the handwriting is on the wall today. And he says it takes a spiritual mind to see the handwriting on the wall, to see where you're at, and to change. The spiritual mind picks up where they're at, and the spiritual mind will dwell in perfect balance with the Word. This is what the spiritual mind is. Is everybody listening to me? Is everyone listening? Is everyone listening? Three's a charm. Now that everyone is listening, the spiritual mind is faith being led and placed in the Word of God by the Spirit of God. The spiritual mind is faith being led and placed in the Word of God by the Spirit of God. Three's a charm. The spiritual mind that leads to life and peace is faith being led and placed in the Word of God by the Spirit of God. In 1963, the world is again falling apart. If the mind of Christ is in us, then we recognize that the Word be the truth and it lives right through us. You can't help it. It's Christ. It lives right through you. You can't help it. And when your faith is led and placed into the Word of God by the Spirit of God, not by your own desire necessarily to be so, or not by your own ability to place yourself there, not by your own capacity to achieve what is there, but by faith that is a gift of God, which is the grace of God to you, placed in the Word of God by the Spirit of God, that is the spiritual mind. The Holy Spirit will never operate itself out of balance. And when you're over here, or you're over here, or you're dipping out of this to bring it to this, you're out of balance. And when you are in those different places, the Satan can use reason to get you, because God is not there. He is in the middle, sane, middle of the road gospel. God is in perfect balance with His Word. And when you're out of balance, that's when Satan can get in and mix you up. This is for the born again and the unborn again. More so for the unborn again, because they operate in the carnal mind alone. But in the spiritual mind, you war against the flesh. And that is why in our text, if we go back to it in Romans chapter 8, he says, mortify the deeds of the flesh. Mortify the deeds of the body through the Spirit. To operate in the Spirit is to lead to life and to peace. And faith that is led and placed into the Word of God by the Spirit of God is a spiritually minded thing that leads to life and to peace. So then I ask you, when is the last time that you've read the Bible with that mindset? When is the last time that you've gone to the Bible? The Word of God. I realize that many of you, you're some of the finest Christians I know. So I'm not picking at any one person. I have hope in you. You encourage me in the faith because of your dedication and because of your walks. But maybe it's for someone, when is the last time you've placed your faith in this and the Holy Spirit led you to it? And you were convicted by it and you acted on it. If the mind of Christ is in us, then we will recognize that the Word be the truth and it lives right through us. You can't help it. It's Christ. Now, in closing, (clears throat) 1958, in the message Life, Brother Branham says, now, the Christian church should have a real character then. And if the life of Christ is in the church of Christ, then it's got to have the character of Christ. Now, that's not necessarily to the church as a whole. That's to an individual. Because the individual is the carrier of the word. Not this building and not this congregation. It is the individual that carries the word. It is you that carries the word in your soul. It is you that is the Godhead in bodily form. It's you. It's an individual affair. If Christ is in the church, then it's got to have a real character of Christ. So self-examine yourself. And say, do all of my actions over here, in my hidden life, do they match up with the word, which leads to life and peace? Do I have a spiritual mind, which is my faith being placed and led and placed in the word of God by the Spirit of God? Do I have that kind of life? Or am I operating in the carnal flesh in an imbalanced way? It'll produce the life of Christ. It's just no more than what we call in the South common sense. Brother Branham, he says this. I love this. He says, if Christ is in the church of Christ, then it's got to have the character of Christ. It'll produce the life of Christ. It's no more than what we call in the South common sense. That thinking is common sense. It's common sense. If you don't come to church, you're not going to get anything out of the church. You're not going to get anything out of the preaching of the word. It's common sense. If you look at pornography, you're going to be off balance. Draw the line somewhere. Draw it. It's common sense. If you look at witchcraft, you're partaking in satanic activity. It's common sense. If you listen to rock and roll, there's a spirit behind music. If you don't think so, watch little babies start dancing when they're little kids. Their parents, Brother Ethan and Sister Anna were telling that today. Nothing against Sister Haven now. But they say she'll start dancing to the and I've seen kids do it to the music of the place. They don't know anything else. There's a spirit behind that music that's just causing them to get into the beat. Don't think for a second that music doesn't hold demon spirits behind it. And you subject yourself to it and you wonder why you're out of balance. It's what we call in the South good old-fashioned common sense. The Holy Spirit operates in balance. And if you're mixing the world, if you've got, you know, the Beatles and then you've got a Christian song right next to each other, that's serpent seed up and down one side and down the other. That's wrong. That's not Christian character. It's just common sense. If you're partaking in something, if you're hanging out with worldly people, it's common sense you're going to turn into that. If you are hanging out with worldly people, now the Holy Spirit operates in perfect balance. You are called out of Babylon's pleasures to go back into the world to teach them of the kingdom, the messianic kingdom that you just became a part of. So you are supposed to be in the world, but you're not of it anymore. Brother Branham says, and led by the Spirit of God, usually if a man's going to be a believer, he's got to separate himself from worldly friends, the people. He says, they'll only call you back into the world again. Environment has a lot to do with it. And when you're a Christian, you associate with Christians and go with Christians and be a Christian. You've got to have the right kind of environment around you. And if you get out of the pool rooms and the dance halls and the shindigs and everything else and call yourself a Christian, the first thing you'll know, you'll be believing it's all right. You'll be imbalanced. It's common sense. One of the best examples I have ever seen in my entire life of this environment in my life is Brother Josh Godwin. When he came into the message, he had all kinds of friends out in the world. And his family. Real close ties. He didn't know anything else. You never knew anything about the message, did you? When he came into the message, he separated himself from those friends, didn't you? And, I mean, you know, you have interactions with them. You have stuff like that. But he separated himself from them. He cut himself off from that. And he put himself into environment. And look at him today. He's continuing in the Word. He might not feel like he's much, but I think he is. I really do. He is an encouragement to me. He really is. That was hard for him to do. To separate everything that you've known. But it's common sense. If you're associating with that kind of stuff, it's going to hurt you. If you're sneaking off to do this kind of a thing away from your wife, it's going to hurt you. If you're out of balance in your marriage, you're going to have problems with that, right? I know all about it. I know all about it. Sister Sarah and I are almost done my book. I'm kidding. Every day I live with her for 3 months, I realize the more I love her and the less I know about marriage. God said in Jehovah Jireh 1957, "Now Abraham, being that you become my servant, I want you to separate yourselves from your people, from your kindreds, from all unbelief." You know, sometimes we're prayed for, and it's a good thing to do. Living in an environment of unbelief will certainly do you a lot of harm. God calls for separators. God's word calls for total separation from unbelief. Unbelief is sin. Sin is unbelief. And how, if you are the Word, how could you deny yourself? How could you deny the Word of God? If you see the Word of God and the Holy Spirit convicts you of something, you'll change it right quick. That is a man who cannot sin, because the Holy Spirit is taking his faith and placing it in the Word of God, and he's being led by the Spirit of God. That is a spiritual mind. That is what will lead you to life and to peace. How do we have that? Brother Branham says in 1965 in The Thinking Man's Filter, he says, if a smoking man wants a smoking man's taste, if he's got a hold of a stick, I say, suck your finger. He said, you stood there sucking your finger, you'd say, well, that was silly. He said, that man has a taste for nicotine. Thinking Man's Filter. If you haven't read it, go home and listen to it. Listen to it on your way home. The taste is what is the filter. Because if a man wants nicotine, he'll draw through the filter of his tastes, of his wants. Isn't that right? If a person wants the rush of a drug, or they're trying to escape something, that becomes their filter, is their desire, and they'll draw drugs right through the filter and it'll get through. If a young man is addicted to pornography, or a young woman, they'll draw that through that filter and it'll get through, because they have a taste for that lust, that quick action, that quick imagination that they have. It's an escape to them. So they'll draw it through that filter. The filter is the taste. Brother Branham says, but a thinking woman, thinking man, they won't take that kind of thing. She knows she's got to be holy, and the only thing that you can draw through God's Word is the Spirit. The quickening power to make the Word itself, which is in you, live to manifest Jesus Christ, the age that you're living in. Hallelujah. Brother, if that ain't the truth, I don't know what the truth is. I've lost my mind if that isn't the truth. It is the Word itself in your heart, predestinated there, that's drawing, that becomes the filter. And it spits out the world and it don't want it. When your tastes are changed, transformed, that becomes your filter. By the works that you do, you shall know, because works is faith expressed. So I'm talking very simply, and I hope that it's getting to you. You look at what you're doing in your hidden life. You look at the fruits that you're producing. You look at the things that you're doing. That is what is your filters is drawing through you. And I don't mean that, because we all have things that we are dealing with, struggling with, that we have, that we just want to see go away. We all want life and peace. We all want the spiritual mind. Faith led and placed into the Word of God. The Word of God is the filter. The Word of God is the filter. So when the spiritual mind, which is your faith, placed and led into the Word of God by the Holy Spirit, because in our text, the sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. When your faith is placed into the Word of God and led there by the Holy Spirit, that is the spiritual mind. Your works is your faith expressed. So I think it would be then common sense to maybe examine the works. I mean, not that you're trying to achieve perfection, but you look and see who you're hanging around. Look and seeing what you're looking at. Look and see what you're listening to. The kind of things that you're doing. Do you desire the Word of God? Do you lay in the Word of God? Is your life all about money? Is it all about your career? When faith is placed and led into the Word of God becomes your filter. And that is the Holy Spirit leading you into all truth. And it is that which will find a perfect balance. God dwells in perfect balance. The sane, middle-of-the-road gospel. He's not off over here. He's not over here. He's not back in the world mixing the two. He dwells in the center of the road. And when the Holy Spirit comes and He leads you into all truth, He places you in perfect balance with the Word. So that you're not, when they say, don't have anything to do with unbelievers. Go out into the world and preach the gospel. The Holy Spirit teaches you how to balance those things. But in no way should a believer mix the world with the Word. That's wrong. I love this verse in Romans. I love this passage of Scripture. This is my favorite. In Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to the purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate, conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, He justified. And then whom He justified, He also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, then who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall we not? How shall He not with Him also freely give up to us all things? In that, to me, is including victory and the power to actually become an overcomer. Amen. Who shall say anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, it is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for you. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Shall persecution? Shall famine? Shall nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The spiritual mind will lead you to life and peace. Your faith, which is a gift from God, placed and led into the Word of God. Led by the Spirit of God, will cause you to become an overcomer. I believe that with all my heart. I think it's too late an hour to play around with it. I really do. And I think young and old alike should look at their lives I should look at what they're doing. I should look, and I'm talking to myself. You can do whatever you want. I'm talking to myself. Look at what I'm doing. Look at what I'm looking at, what I'm listening to, what I'm reading, what my life is pointed towards. What are my ambitions, my hopes, my desires? Make sure they line up with the Word. Not in an imbalanced way, but right in the same middle of the road gospel. That is where God dwells. I want life and peace. He who is spiritually minded has life and peace. Your faith being led and placed in the Word of God. Something is wrong, cut it out. If you're looking at something that is wicked, don't set it before your eyes. All of these things, the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. So therefore, the paramount thing then becomes being led by the Spirit of God. That takes surrender. That takes laying down pride. That takes humility. Would you bow your heads? Musicians, if you'd like to come, Brother Barry, you can come. We sing that. I give my mind completely to you, Lord. Fill me with your love. Change my heart. I live in all that's true. I just want to think like you. My mind completely to you, Lord. Take my you to do is just bow your heads, close your eyes. And I just want you to think about this, because to me this is important stuff. It's really important stuff, because there's only two types of people, and I don't want to be found wanting when I put in the balance. I want to have a genuine life. The reality of God, not just a figment of my imagination or a ritualism or anything like that. I want the genuine life of Christ in my life. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, we are a mixed up bunch of people. Some of us think more highly than ourselves than we ought to. Think we don't need anything. Maybe there's some of us who don't need anything. I don't know. But I know that there's a lot who need you. I know that there's a lot who struggle with things that they can't overcome by themselves. I think maybe they just have never really fully submitted to you. And Lord, I believe that this is too late an hour to allow them to fool around with it any longer. I pray that you put it on our hearts just to lay ourselves down. Just to completely lay ourselves down. Not to play with it anymore, but to be real about it. And to do that, we got to lay down our pride. Lord, we need your help for that. We can't do that on our own. So, Lord, I pray for everybody in this room. That you just help them, Lord. Lord, that we would just get before you in a way that is humble. Really lay ourselves down. Really come down to business. Really come down to desperation. Not that this is important for us or that it means anything to us, because it's important to you. Because you are the Alpha and the Omega. Because this is what you have required. And we lay ourselves down. And we deny ourselves. And we lay down our pride. And we come before you. Not before anyone else or any church or anything like that. But we lay ourselves down at your throne. Because you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You are the Almighty One. I pray that you give us the courage to do that. Grant it, Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray these things. Amen. Barry. Let's just worship Him for a little bit. If you'd like to come and pray at the altar, maybe give yourself a fresh. I'd be happy to pray with you. Brother Barry would be happy to pray with you. Just let the Lord move in your heart. Don't try to work anything up. You just be honest. Have good common sense to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless you.
great prayer. Because, you know, all of us, if we took a vote, all of us would want to be spiritually minded. But I will tell you what, there's a battle that rages. There's a war that goes on. There's struggles that take place in our mind. And we need to learn to yield to the Holy Spirit so that we can think the way He would want us to think, to come to the conclusions He would want us to come to. That's a really, really challenging thought tonight. Really, really challenging thing. And I'll tell you what, you know, it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit works. And you may think that I sit in there in the office and inform the preacher that's going to preach all the things that are taking place in this church. And I can assure you I did not and I do not. But I know I have enough confidence in the Holy Spirit that He knows just exactly what to say and how to say it and who to say it through. And sometimes to say it a whole lot more direct than I even would, because I know too much. God is sovereign. God knows exactly what He's doing. So we just thank God for the Word and thank God for His love to us tonight. Because you know what? To me, He cares for us. He cares for you. He doesn't want you to labor. He doesn't want you to be bound. He doesn't want you to be less than an overcomer. He wants you to win. He wants you to overcome. He surely does. Amen. We choose the fear of the Lord. We choose the fear of the Lord. For the fear of the Lord is to hate. One final time, we pray that You would take this word, Lord. Take the portions that are meant for us, and may, Lord, we consider them to be our necessary food. We thank You, Lord, because You reach deep into our hearts and our lives, and You see us, You know us, and You care about us, Lord, enough to speak to those issues that we deal with. Lord Jesus, we want to say we love You. We thank You for all that You supply, for all Your goodness. May, Lord, You bless the people now this week. We just pray that You would prosper our way and cause them to grow in grace and in knowledge. And Father, we'll just give You thanks and praise for all that's been accomplished. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray all of these things. Amen. There is none like You. No one else can touch my heart like You do. We're going to let you go tonight. If you want to stay and linger, you're certainly welcome to do that. If anybody ever wants to stay and be prayed for, you're always welcome to do that as people are leaving. You're certainly welcome to do that. Just all you need to do is just let us know. I just trust that God will bless your week this week. And remember, Brother Burley will be here on Wednesday night. He'll be taking the service. And I'm not going to be here on Wednesday night because my boys are going to give me a 60th birthday present and take me fishing, and I agreed. And we're going to go up to a little place in Virginia, and we're going to just spend a couple of days up there fishing together, and I'm just really looking forward to that. So you'll be in good hands, and we just trust that the service will be blessed. So I'll be praying for you this week, and we ought to be praying for one another, because we need it. We need it in the days we're living in. I'd say look up. Your redemption draws near. This thing is winding up, wrapping up. we ought to leave on the note whereby we live every day with expectation, because things are happening. You're not making them happen. They're happening because God's got it all under control. It's not spinning out of control, not at all. And don't be afraid of the future at all, but rather look to the future as something that God's going to fulfill His word exactly as He said it, and just in the timing that He has it all working. And I tell you what, it's just gonna happen one day, and we're going to be taken out of here in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. God bless you. We appreciate you and love you very much. Sing it together now as you go. Hold it. We are going to pray for our school kids after we sing this song. There is none like you, and no one else can touch my heart like you do. If you're in school this year, come on up. I'll be singing this song here, and we'll have a word of prayer for our kids. Thank you, Brother Tom. College kids do it. Thank you. are my all in all. You are my strength when I am weak. And you're my all in all. Aren't you glad you're a Christian? I tell you, I am. I tell you what, I wish I was going back to school too. I love to learn and just envious of those kids going back to school. Let's sing it to them. May God richly bless you.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my
there is no